Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
What's happening, Alessandro Barbosa?
How you doing, Ari Kelman?
I'm good and you, Alessandro Barbosa.
Oh, I'm good and yourself, man.
Fantastic. I thought we were gonna continue with the first name and then surname thing.
We only have 10 minutes.
Oh shit, you are right, actually. And we've got a truckload of gaming news to get to. Let's kick it off with this. Talk to me about Lawbreakers, brand new PC game, and people are very excited. What's up?
Yeah, so Lawbreakers isn't all that new, but it is kind of new within the space of like media this week, because this week Lawbreakers got its first like real gameplay trailer. It's suddenly a game people are talking about, and kind of with good reasons. So if you're not too sure what it is, Lawbreakers is the first game from a brand new studio called Boss Key Productions. Boss Key was opened up by the famed developer Cliff Bleszinski. He's probably most well known for his work on Gears of War. He's kind of like the creator of that franchise. And after Gears of War 3 wrapped up, he left Epic Games and Microsoft and wanted to kind of do his own thing. And Lawbreakers is the first time we kind of get to see what him and his team at Boss Key have been kind of cooking up. So what it is a PC exclusive online multiplayer game. It's only multiplayer and only online, so you know, if you're not in that space, you can kind of like switch off now. But it's got a lot in common with games like Quake and Doom, in that it's a very fast-paced, ridiculously violent arena shooter. But then at the same time, it shares a lot of DNA with games like Team Fortress 2 and Overwatch, which Blizzard is releasing next month. In that you kind of pick a character that is set in a predetermined class, and you're working together as a team to kind of pick characters that kind of gel together and always work towards a common objective. So it's this weird kind of mix of arena shooting and objective-based multiplayer, which is kind of new. Like, I mean, those two are normally very separate and very exclusive. So seeing them come together, I'm fairly interested to see how they kind of work together. But what makes the game really cool is that it's set in like a not too distant future where gravity on Earth has kind of broken. So the game allows you to mess a lot with the laws of physics. A lot of characters get to, you know, jump almost infinitely. A lot of them are equipped with really, really cool jetpacks that allow you to kind of like fall off this suspended in air map and, regain your footing on ground. There's one character that runs around like katanas and has this really cool grappling hook that allows you to swing around the map almost like Spider-Man. It's just, it looks really, really cool. And a lot of people who got some hands-on time with the game last week have said that they haven't played a game with movement that is as satisfying as Lawbreakers in a long time. So the game is currently taking closed alpha registration, so you can go to their website and sign up for a chance to be in the alpha. There's no release date yet, but it is only coming to PC at this time, and I'm hoping it comes by the end of the year because I really, really want to get my hands on it.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be really, really dope. And the fact that people can sign up still is cool. That might be dope, but Star Fox Zero, we are not feeling this vibe at all, right? One of the last titles coming to the Wii U and not really giving the Wii U a great send-off.
Yeah, listen, I got my Wii U just around over a year ago, just because I felt I was missing out on a lot of these really great Nintendo franchises. So I got to play stuff like Zelda, I've got to play stuff like Kirby, and Star Fox was like the one remaining Nintendo, you know, generational franchise that I hadn't really tried. So Star Fox Zero is kind of the game for someone like me. It's a game that is taking the series kind of back to its roots and kind of rebooting it for a new audience and kind of reintroducing people to the story of Star Fox. And what it is it's like an on-rails shooter. So you're playing as Star Fox in this like ship, which is called an R-Wing, which is really cool. But a lot of the time the game is flying you in a direct path and you're just, you know, aiming and shooting enemies down. And, some other parts give you a little more freedom. You get to engage in these really cool dogfights in space and above, you know, all these different colorful planets. But a lot of the time the game just kind of has you doing what it wants you to do. And you're just kind of there and you almost feel like a passenger and someone else is driving. So that's not new to Star Fox. That's what Star Fox is. But for a game coming out in 2016 and for a game that's, you know, one of the last big Nintendo exclusives for the Wii U before they launched the NX later this year, it just felt like really, really flat. It's out today for the Wii U, but I'd be really tempted to say, even if you're a really big Star Fox fan, to read up a bit about it and just kind of understand what you're getting yourself into. It's a game that hasn't really evolved over the years. And if you're picking it up now, it's a game that you could have picked up in, you know, 2016, 10 years ago, and you wouldn't really be able to tell the difference. So it's got these cool moments of, and some of the boss battles are really cool. And again, some of the dogfights in space where you're given a lot of this freedom to kind of fly around are really cool. And it makes some really nice use of the Wii U's almost tablet-like gamepad with motion controls that actually kind of work, because those hardly ever work when it comes to precise aiming. So it's a complete mixed bag. I thought Star Fox would have been a lot better, especially considering it had Platinum Games developing it, which are renowned developers in the gaming space. And yeah, it wasn't really what the Wii U deserved as one of its final big blockbuster titles. So if you're looking to pick that up on Wii U, make sure that you really know what you're getting into and that you're a huge fan, because otherwise I think you're going to be a little disappointed.
So now that everybody's stuck around for some good gaming news, some bad gaming news, we got to get into the only gaming news that matters. This is a big deal. A PS4 this year? Really?
Yeah, this is something I've been looking at for a few weeks now, and I've been hesitant to talk about it because for the past few weeks, it's been a lot of, you know, very, very strange leaks, a lot of weird rumors. But this week kind of cemented the fact that Sony is almost definitely prepping a brand new PS4, and it could very well launch by the end of the year. So it's all a little bit confusing. In the past, Xbox and PlayStation have always had different iterations of their consoles as the console has aged. But what has stayed the same is what's inside the console. So it might have got a little bit slim. I mean, you have like, you've always had PS3 slim, you had PS2 slim, but it was always a PS2, a PS3. You know, you got the console and it didn't matter, you know, that it was a little bit thin. It was the exact same console. Mm. So the idea that Sony now is looking at releasing a PS4 that is completely upgraded internally, in the sense that it's got a lot of, you know, a lot more graphical power. It's got a brand new CPU. It's got more memory for games to utilize. It means that they're essentially releasing a console that could be a PS5 if they really wanted to name it that. But they're kind of planning to release this in the middle of a console cycle, console that could kind of split their player base. So PlayStation's got 40 million PlayStation 4 sold across the world right now. So they've got a 40 million player strong player base. And they're planning to release this thing, which they've codenamed the PS Neo, which might run games at higher frame rates. It might make games look a lot better because developers will have a lot more power to utilize in their games. And essentially, you're going to start getting games that will look a lot better on the PS4 Neo and a lot worse on the original PS4. And then it gets even weirder in that the leak that came out this week suggested that Sony is making sure that if developers want to develop for one console, they have to develop for both. So now instead of getting just a normal PS4 game, you're going to be getting a PS4 base version or a PS4 Neo version. And, you know, they're going to be different in terms of quality. But PlayStation is trying to make sure that both games at least run semi-well on both systems, and that if a player still has the old PlayStation 4, they're not really missing out on too much, you know, when looking at the upgraded version. So they're kind of stuck in this like middle ground where they want to release this more powerful console, you know, less than 3 years before they've launched the PS4. They don't want it to be that much better, but they want people to buy it. At the same time, they don't want people who don't buy it to feel like they're missing out. Mm. So what is it really actually going to achieve? A lot of people, a lot of industry insiders who have been speaking to developers already are saying that developers aren't happy with this decision because, you know, it means more time and more money for them, because now they suddenly have to develop for a brand new platform, which isn't, you know, as easy as flicking a switch and suddenly you've got two versions of the same game. Yeah. And a lot of people who, I mean, some of the 40 million people who own PS4s are like, well, this isn't kind of what they signed up for. Console gaming is so popular and so lucrative because it's an idea that you buy a box and it lasts for 5 to 7 years, that you never need to worry about upgrading it. That's where PC gaming comes in, and that's a whole new market, you know. People get into that market because they know it's expensive. The idea that consoles could maybe start, you know, living 2 to 3 year life cycles is a bit scary to people. And a lot of Sony fans are feeling like if this is the case, that they've kind of been betrayed. So I don't know if Sony's going to talk about it at E3. I think they really need to talk about it before then, because, you know, right now we're having like a leak or a rumor every week. And the more leaks come out, the more people speculate and the more they get worried about this. So until Sony comes and actually talks about what they're doing and what their plans are for this new console, we don't really know. But it seems almost 100% certain that there will be a new PS4 sometime soon. And it will be doing something to shake up the console space for probably, you know, the foreseeable future.
Well, I can hear that your dogs aren't impressed by this, Alessandro. They're really pissed off, bro. I take that. They're very upset about it. Listen, but they can force people to change it every 2-3 years, because between them and Xbox, like, they run the town.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, Sony is saying that, well, if they can release this thing, why not? There are a lot of games already on the system that you can see are struggling with performance. If you look at something like Final Fantasy 15, it's already struggling to maintain a sub HD resolution. It's struggling to maintain high frame rates. And that, you know, 3 years into a dev cycle is kind of worrying. But again, that's not, you know, new to the console space. As consoles age, developers come to grips with this technology and start pushing out games that are really, really good looking for hardware that is essentially like 5 years old. So yeah. I don't know whether Sony is just kind of scared that that won't happen this time, or whether they're just looking to cash in and make a little bit more money by trying this, you know, the strategy that's kind of never been done before. Microsoft have already said they really aren't keen about this idea. And who knows? I mean, there's rumors swirling around that they might be releasing console despite their, you know, apprehension to a console, you know, between major console launches. So I don't know. I think by the end of this year, the console space is going to be quite different, because we're going to have a new Nintendo console. We're probably going to have this new PlayStation. And it could mean that the console space will be changed forever. We could have consoles that only last 2 or 3 years at a time. Who knows?
Yeah, but bro, I mean, virtual reality coming in is going to change regardless of whether they're changing consoles or not, because that virtual reality technology is going to require some sort of further investment from people that want that technology. So people just need to maybe get used to the idea of change being a little rapid over the next decade.
Oh, definitely. I think one of the biggest proponents for this is kind of the dawn of VR. Virtual reality, I think, as we've discussed so many times, it requires a lot of power from the hardware that these consoles just can't really deliver. And it's why Sony's own virtual reality headset, which is coming out in October, is shipping with a small little processing box that is going to add a lot more power to the PS4 for it to be able to even just run VR games. So a lot of people are looking at virtual reality and saying, maybe this is why Microsoft and Sony are so scared, you know, to kind of wait 7 years for their consoles to age and then only release a new one, because they might just miss that whole VR craze and lose out a lot of customers to PC. It could be true. But I think with VR being such an unproven space yet, it would be such a weird, weird, unproven risk to take so early into, you know, what is essentially the dawn of VR, and, you know, still within that space of, you know, early adopters. Not everyone's rushing out to buy a VR headset. Not everyone knows if it's going to be around for the next 5 years. So I don't know. Really, right now, only the people at Sony, the higher ups there, really know what they're trying to do.
Yeah, man, and they must be doing a lot of research in that. Someone just has to hope that they are on the right track. Alessandro, always cool getting the latest gaming news. We do it once a week with you, Friday, just after 5. It's called The Game Zone. Of course, if people want to keep up with you, it's so easy, at Caption Barbosa on Twitter. Have a phenomenal weekend, bro.
You too, Ari. I'll check you next week. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.